You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer, A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear a sportsman and a businesswoman discussing the issue of being competitive. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
You've read this new book on competitiveness. Is it all about striving for success or a defense of the Olympic ideal? You know, taking part is more important than winning.
Well, yes. That's a view often ridiculed, certainly, as some sort of excuse for underachievement. I mean, if you run a race, surely it's because you want to win. And we've all got used to the belief that competition is a necessary force for good in the modern world. It's a deeply ingrained idea. It was a bit of a shock to read that competition impoverishes people rather than enriching them. There's the mind-boggling range of convincing examples you'd expect in support of this theory. And the whole thing is so engagingly written that the most hostile opponents would have trouble refuting it.
Well, my experience of competition in the business world is nothing but negative. I'd say that if you put competition at the heart of your strategy, far from achieving the desired outcome of boosting efficiency by pitting staff against each other, the effect is rather to encourage people to focus exclusively on immediate success, not on sustained growth. Let's face it, the best businesses are the ones that look ahead instead of limiting their perspective in this way. You've read this new book on competitiveness. Is it all about striving for success or a defense of the Olympic ideal? You know, taking part is more important than winning.
Well, yes. That's a view often ridiculed, certainly, as some sort of excuse for underachievement. I mean, if you run a race, surely it's because you want to win. And we've all got used to the belief that competition is a necessary force for good in the modern world. It's a deeply ingrained idea. It was a bit of a shock to read that competition impoverishes people rather than enriching them. There's the mind-boggling range of convincing examples you'd expect in support of this theory. And the whole thing is so engagingly written that the most hostile opponents would have trouble refuting it.
Well, my experience of competition in the business world is nothing but negative. I'd say that if you put competition at the heart of your strategy, far from achieving the desired outcome of boosting efficiency by pitting staff against each other, the effect is rather to encourage people to focus exclusively on immediate success, not on sustained growth. Let's face it, the best businesses are the ones that look ahead instead of limiting their perspective in this way.
Extract 2. You hear 2 friends discussing some research into the impact of colour on memory. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
You know how colors affect us, like red and yellow are often used in fast food restaurants, in the decor, I mean?
Yeah. They say they excite the brain, which tells you you're hungry. That was in the papers years back.
Well, okay. But now there's a suggestion colors may help us memorize better.
Oh, come on. Influence appetites and emotions? Maybe, but...
No, really. This teenager did some research.
Teenager?
Yeah, I know. But it does seem sound. She took a page of words and printed them in so-called warm colors.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, reds, oranges, yellows, etc., and gave people 2 minutes to memorize the words. She followed that with pretty complicated maths equations to stop them reciting the words in their head.
Okay. Sounds good so far.
And they were given a minute to record how many words they could remember. And then the same procedure with words printed in cool colors like green and blue.
And?
Overall, warm colors were memorized better and cool colors worse.
Oh, She's followed a thorough process then, but is there any existing published data that backs up or contradicts these claims?
Well, not as such, I grant you, though it sounds like she's onto something to me, but only time will tell. You know how colors affect us, like red and yellow are often used in fast food restaurants? In the decor, I mean?
Yeah. They say they excite the brain, which tells you you're hungry. That was in the papers years back.
Well, okay. But now there's a suggestion colors may help us memorize better.
Oh, come on. Influence appetites and emotions? Maybe, but...
No, really. This teenager did some research.
Teenager?
Yeah, I know. But it does seem sound. She took a page of words and printed them in so-called warm colors.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, reds, oranges, yellows, etc., and gave people 2 minutes to memorize the words. She followed that with pretty complicated maths equations to stop them reciting the words in their head.
Okay. Sounds good so far.
And they were given a minute to record how many words they could remember. And then the same procedure with words printed in cool colors like green and blue.
And?
Overall, warm colors were memorized better and cool colors worse.
She's followed a thorough process then, but is there any existing published data that backs up or contradicts these claims?
Well, not as such, I grant you, though it sounds like she's onto something to me, but only time will tell.
Extract 3. You hear two people discussing a television program about music and the effect it has on the brain. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
I watched How Musical Are You on TV last night. They were saying how listening to music is a really complicated process. The scientists were really going to town on it.
I thought so-called musicality meant being able to play a musical instrument, but that seemed to be just one aspect of the whole program. It's odd. People who've never set foot inside a music classroom might still have a musical ear without realizing it.
You mean everyone has an innate ability to make sense of music? I'm not sure, but it brings an enormous amount of pleasure. I really don't know how, but it changes my mood when I'm down, which never ceases to amaze me. But they missed a trick in not clarifying why some people are avid listeners to music and others not.
They seemed more interested in the possible effect of music on musicians' brains. I didn't know that people who've had music training in childhood find long-term positive effects on their verbal memory. Who'd have thought it?
I don't remember words, whatever I do. You know that online quiz they mentioned? That might be worth a go. It's about how engaged you are with music, you know, whether it's part of your identity or not.
So you might be more musical than you think.
I watched How Musical Are You on TV last night. They were saying how listening to music is a really complicated process. The scientists were really going to town on it.
I thought so-called musicality meant being able to play a musical instrument, but that seemed to be just one aspect of the whole program. It's odd. People who've never set foot inside a music classroom might still have a musical ear without realizing it.
You mean everyone has an innate ability to make sense of music? I'm not sure, but it brings an enormous amount of pleasure. I really don't know how, but it changes my mood when I'm down, which never ceases to amaze me. But they missed a trick in not clarifying why some people are avid listeners to music and others not.
They seemed more interested in the possible effect of music on musicians' brains. I didn't know that people who've had music training in childhood find long-term positive effects on their verbal memory. Who'd have thought it?
I don't remember words, whatever I do. You know that online quiz they mentioned? That might be worth a go. It's about how engaged you are with music, you know, whether it's part of your identity or not.
So you might be more musical than you think.